Hour number two on this Saturday, Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman alongside you. Going to get to our question of the day here. Coming up later in the hour, we're going to talk some Preds as they prepare to take on the Winnipeg Jets later tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Talk some college football as well. Some big games across the country today as we inch closer to the college football playoff. We'll also make some picks. But first, let's get back to our question of the day. Connor Newt, rip to the Newtmobile.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace as his car's transmission went out yesterday. He wants to know, what was your first car? And do you have a good story to go along with it? We're going to give our answers here. Nick Frazier, do you have a good first car story?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, my first car was an 04 Jeep Grand Cherokee. It was my dad's old company car, and we still have it, actually. He uses it to haul his trailer around from time to time, but...
It still runs?
Oh, yeah, still runs.
Selling?
It's been through the ringer. It's got, like, I think 290-something thousand miles on it, I think. Now, my mom, her first car, well, not first car, but she bought a 1998 Land Cruiser, and that has, like, 380,000 miles on it. Toyota. I mean, that thing's going to run.
I just hit
forever.
I just hit 190,000, and the mechanic was like, I'm surprised you made it that far.
Yeah.
Because usually cars are out by like 150.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, Jeep Grand Cherokee 04. My dad put a lot of highway miles on that for work. But once I got to high school, that was my car, not of choice, but car by default. And every single time after football practice, I'd try to turn it on and just wouldn't turn over. And I'm like, what's going on here? Can I not go home? And then, you know, you see the athletic director come up in the parking lot. Hey, man, what are you still doing here? I'm like, my car just won't turn over. I don't know what to tell you. So we jump it every time it would work. I go home. In the mornings when it's super cold to go to school, it would work fine to get to school. Every time I'm trying to go home, it never would want to turn on.
It's always the worst possible times.
But, yeah, that was my first car. It ran great. Now it just kind of... It's kicked the bucket, in my opinion. My dad needs to get rid of it, but he won't. So.
But still have it with almost, what, 300,000 miles?
It's close, yeah. It's crazy. Close to that.
Jake Wallman, what was your first car?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Frazier. My first car was a 1998 red Ford pickup truck.
Hey!
Wow. It was my dad's. I remember the day he brought it home. That's how close I was to the car. And so when I was in high school, I get my license. It's time to get a car. He has a new truck, and we were just kind of using it as like a thing to haul wood and trash and stuff. So I get the car. I remember the like lining, you know, like the ceiling lining that you had, you know, in a car and stuff. It was so old, it was like falling from the ceiling. Like it was just hanging off and stuff. Like we had like a mountain lion and loose in there or something. And it had a lot of problems, kind of like Frazier's. I think it was the heat didn't work. So those, and like me and my brother had like a 20, 25 minute ride to school every morning. So like those cold winter mornings when we're riding to school, you know, normally you can take a jacket off, but we had to keep ours on. So, and one day my grandfather and I were working on the radio and we had looked away for a moment, and the radio just, like, started smoking. So we eventually had to give it away. It was a good car. It gave me a nice, probably, year and a half.
Wow.
So. Wow.
I had a red pickup truck as well. That was my first car. 2004 Toyota Tacoma.
Hey.
I remember the day my dad brought it home, too, but that was my car when I got my license, and it was great. Never really had any issues with it. I had it until my junior year of college, where one day I was driving down to Bluefield, West Virginia, to call a Division III wrestling meet. That was it was a Saturday morning, and I went down to call a Division III wrestling meet, and it was an icy day in Southwest Virginia, and on the highway, hit a patch of ice, spun out, crashed into the guardrail. Thank goodness there was no cars around, because if there were cars like near me, it would have been a pileup, because I wasn't going over the speed limit. Like I was trying to be careful, but just hit a slick spot, spun left, spun back right, and then was turned back the other way and hit the guardrail. And It was totaled. I was still able to drive it down to Bluefield and call the wrestling meet that day. It was the...
Just missing the front bumper.
It was the Appalachian Athletic Conference's wrestling championship. So I called that and then got it all the way back, brought it into the shop, and they said that it would cost more to fix it than it was worth. So...
How bad was the damage? Are we talking like bent in?
Well, so it wasn't that bad. The wheel well in the front was bent, so it was kind of rubbing against the tire a little bit. Like, right. That was the worst part of it. One of the headlights was messed up. But then the issue was there was a dent in the bed, and because of insurance, they have to get it back to its former state. They would have had to replace the entire bed. And so that was why it was totaled. Tough. Toyota truck, it would have run forever. I remember my dad would always get people coming up to him, like, in hotel parking lots, like, hey, I'll give you, like, $10,000 in cash right now if you give me that car. Like, people love the 04 Tacoma. I think my dad still is very upset that it crashed, but, you know.
Mr. Lyman, please forgive him. He does a good job around
here. I don't think he blames me for it, because, like, it was icy. It's not like I was going 80 miles an hour.
How nervous were you getting that truck home after that wrestling?
Oh, very, very nervous. That was, like, a two-hour drive, too.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it was iffy there for a little bit, but we got it back. We made it work, and now we've got the Santa Fe that is running fine after the issues this summer. So,
yeah, I don't know. My heart's not in it today. I think my favorite part about my car was she was a good girl. She loved her mama and Jesus and her boyfriend, too.
Was the Newtmobile your first car?
Did no one get that?
I got it.
Thank you. Yes, the Newtmobile was the first car.
Is that All-American Girl? Is that?
No, it's Free Fallin'.
Free Fallin'. Yeah, gotcha. All-American Girl's a good one,
Connor
too.
Connor is just on one of them. I love it. I love every bit of it.
Yeah, that's Free Fallin'.
I'm glad you got my Tom Petty.
I understood it. I had my wires crossed.
I mean, that was a boomer joke if I've ever given one, which is why I'm kind of on one, because I don't know. It's a bad day. Yesterday was a bad day.
We feel for you, Connor.
There's a chance she pulls through.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
I say she's dead. She's dead for the moment. She can be revived. We're towing it to the transmission specialist, and if he's like, yeah, you might as well just get a new, because transmissions,
they're expensive,
pretty expensive. Yeah. So
just to set the record straight, folks that are listening on the radio, we're talking about Connor's car, just putting that out there.
No, I did not lose a child.
Yes, Connor's car, its transmission went out yesterday. We'll have to get an update next week and see if the transmission has started to pull through.
The thing is, it's like, this is literally the worst possible time for this to happen.
Right.
Because school's ending here in a couple weeks. Obviously, I work here.
Yeah.
So I got to be here.
You got places to be.
But, I mean, how am I going to get to school?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Christmas is like a month away.
Yeah.
So.
Santa's not bringing me a car this year.
I mean,
go ahead and tell
it doesn't
that
have
now.
To be new.
It could be a December to remember.
This isn't a Hallmark movie. I'm not going to wake up on Christmas morning and there's a nice white Prius out in the driveway with a big red bow on it. That's not happening.
You know what? You just gave me a good idea.
To get your fiance for Christmas?
No. God, I don't have that kind of money. Christmas, one of our shows around Christmas, we're going to make it homework for all of us to watch one really corny Hallmark movie and come back with a review. I'm deciding that now.
I'm petitioning we do a White Elephant live on air.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
Let's do that.
We're going to have a fun Christmas special.
Ban gift cards, though. If you bring a gift card,
yeah, no
you're
gift cards. Got to be. We'll set a price limit.
It's going to be really, really short because there's only four of us, but
yeah.
We're going to do it.
No right. Bags of popcorn, either.
No food.
All right.
No food.
But we'll say, like, I don't know, $10, $15 price limit.
Let's jack it up to $25.
Okay.
No iPods.
All right. We'll work on that.
I got that.
And
that was a good episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's
no
a good one.
No teapots.
Oven mitts.
With ketchup inside of them.
Creed going into his closet and pulling out this number.
That's a good episode.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Any stories on your car and any ideas for our Christmas shows? We're going to have some fun. Oh, Nick Frazier.
180 from
darts,
Luke.
Darts are going crazy off to my right.
I love it.
We'll take a break. Join the Nashville Predators tonight for a special 6 p.m. puck drop as they welcome back to Smashville Hockey Hall of Famers David Poile and Shea Weber. There will be a ceremonial puck drop ahead of the game. Our coverage begins at 5 p.m. right here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Nick Frazier might fall out of his chair.
Back-to-back 180s from Luke Littler.
Oh, is he gonna do a nine dart?
No, nine dart.
If I had any idea maybe what you were talking about, I'd be celebrating with you, but... My heart's not in it today.
We'll take a break. We'll talk about the Preds on the other side. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt football, presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. The Commodores will take on LSU with pregame beginning at 5, kickoff at 6:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Going to talk some Predators here as they prepare for their return home to Bridgestone Arena.
Sorry.
Nick Frazier is going crazy to some darts.
He just double bullseyed. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Continuing with the Preds.
We're going to talk Preds. Preds taking on the Jets tonight. Tough matchup. And the Predators trying to dig out of this hole that they've dug through the first couple of weeks of the season. Guys, do we feel like it's gotten a little bit too deep for them at this point after a road trip where, yes, they got some points, two overtime losses and one win, I believe, one win, right? They got four points on the road trip, which not fantastic, not terrible, but you kind of need to be getting 6 to 7 points on that road trip if you want to start getting back into contention.
I don't want to say it's too deep of a hole because it's still we've only played a fourth of the season. It's an 82 game season. We've played 20 games, I think, around that area.
Yeah, give or take.
I don't think it's too deep. I think they can turn it around, but with that being said, we are approaching a territory where maybe some drastic changes need to start happening. I'm not saying we need to fire Andrew Brunette. I'm actually defending keeping Andrew Brunette. I think he's a great coach. I think I love his system, but I think we've said this before too. You're not trading your key pieces and Josi Forsberg, Stamkos, and then Shea and Marchessault, but I think there's a possibility you could start to see some of these glue guys, for lack of a better term, maybe we start flipping those old guys. And maybe some guys start getting called up, like we just saw it today, Fedor Svechkov getting called up, Willsby going down. I don't think he played much. But could we see, Colton Sissons get flipped? Could we see maybe Huso Parsons playing great? I wouldn't bring him down.
No.
Luke Evangelista, could he maybe go down? Maybe.
I would say no to that, though.
Could we see Mark Jankowski or on the defensive side, a Carrier or a Lauzon? I don't know. But, it's just a brutal, brutal start to the season for the Preds. And I think they can get out of it. I lose a little bit of hope every day, as is life. But I think they can get out of it. It starts tonight.
Yeah, and like you mentioned about Brunette, I'm in the same camp with you. I defend him as well because his ideology of, you play fast and transition and so forth, that works. But to me, it's almost like I wonder if you kind of – you don't need to dumb it down because your veterans know what you're wanting to do. I feel like the pace has to slow down a tad bit.
Yeah.
Because you got these 32, 30-year-olds, hell, even some of them are 34 in some regard – they don't got the legs of a 21-year-old anymore.
I think it's an effort issue.
You think?
I think there's laziness in the locker room.
I think there's maybe a little bit of that, but I think it's from the immaturity of the young players.
And I think there's a lack of accountability.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Not from the coaching, because I think Brunette is incredibly accountable. Barry Trotz, as we've seen on this station, incredibly accountable.
Oh, yeah.
He will not hold back. So I think it's a player thing. I think it's a... I don't want to say it's a chemistry thing because it's been 20 games with a new team.
Yeah.
It should start to gel.
I just think it needs to be dumbed down a little bit. I'm saying the wrong term there, but I think it just needs to be just put at a slower
simplified.
Pace.
Simplified.
Yes, thank you. Simplified. And just for those veteran guys because you're seeing them kind of overdo it. just being as individuals. Like Jonathan Marchessault has just been abysmal with the puck at his skate.
It's like they look for the extra pass instead of taking the open shot.
Yeah,
just
something
shoot the
like
puck.
That. Yeah,
you come out of July 1st with Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea. I think it's fair to say none of those guys have lived up to expectations. Stamkos has been close. Like, Stamkos has started to play a lot better after a slow start. Mm-hmm. But, man, Marchessault and Shea have... I mean, those big contracts, they have just not been good.
Shea especially. Yeah. Shea has been rough.
And it's crazy because a lot of the Preds, it's not a lot, but I'd say a good bit of their goals have kind of come on the power play, which has been a missing factor in the last couple of years. It's almost like you kind of want the roles to switch a little bit. More goals, not on the power play.
They have the top penalty kill in the league.
Yeah, which just, it doesn't add up.
It's, can we play every game 4-on-5 now?
I mean, sure. If it'll get you wins, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, Marchessault has no 5-on-5 goals this year.
Yeah, I think
something like that.
Yeah, one of them was a 6-on-5, right, in overtime or something like that.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it counts as a regular,
it counts as
even
an
strength.
Even strength goal, but it's just, if you were looking for why this team wouldn't succeed, it would be the big time acquisitions didn't pan out, and so far that's been a large reason. Like, I think Saros has been solid. Josi and Forsberg have been maybe not elite, but they've been their usual selves. It's been the new guys who just haven't been able to step up, and the young guys also haven't taken the step forward that maybe we would have hoped with Novak and Evangelista and guys like that.
Yeah, it's just a brutal start. But to your point, I mean, I can't blame Andrew Brunette.
No.
There are people on Twitter, they live in our Twitter apparently, fire Andrew Brunette, it doesn't work. Jared says he can see why people are saying that. I don't. I don't understand it.
I'm not there yet either.
Because what has he done to show you that he's not capable of leading this team? A coach doesn't go from the top three coaches in the league competing for the Coach of the Year award to just garbage in 1 year. Less than a year. A few months.
Yeah,
that's just not how it works.
I mean, he took a team last year that I don't think even Barry Trotz was expecting to do much and took them to the playoffs. So,
and that's the reason you saw this buy-in this year.
He's earned a little bit of a grace period here. I'm not saying you give him a super long leash. Like, if this continues for the full year, I could definitely see the Preds making a change in the offseason. But firing him mid-season when you're only, like we said, a quarter of the way into the year,
that'll only set you back more.
Exactly. You might get a little bump out of it, because I feel like every time a team fires their coach mid-season, there's an interim coach boost where guys are like, little more on their game. They're like, oh, what, this might be serious, like we've got to pick it up.
Yeah,
but I'm willing to give Brunette the full season. I'm not.
How many interim coaches across all sports have actually worked out?
Ed Orgeron.
Like, and he's, I mean, he,
where is he now?
He
nowhere.
Worked out for like 2 years.
Yeah,
they got a national championship about it, did they not?
That, yeah,
they did.
One of the greatest teams in college football history.
They did. They were stacked top to bottom. But I'm saying, like, there is probably an outlier in this debate, but very, very rarely do interim coaches actually pan out over time.
Right. True. And you're probably, if you're firing Andrew Brunette, you're punting on the season at that point.
Yeah.
Which,
you're punting on the whole project, honestly.
Well, no, I think the window is longer than just this year. Like,
well, yeah.
That's why I don't think you punt.
No, that's what I'm saying, is I think you give Brunette the year. And yes, if they end up being one of the two or three worst teams in the NHL at the end of the year with all this talent on the roster, then I think you might have to make a move. But let's give them some time.
Yeah.
We saw last year, the Preds weren't in position. I'm not saying they're going to have a 19-game point streak, but they weren't really in position to be a playoff team until after the U2 concert thing. Like, they haven't had that moment yet.
let's book a concert.
And cancel it immediately. No, I think they haven't had that moment where things have turned yet. I think they're going to have it. Maybe it could be tonight. You're playing a team that people aren't going to give you a ton of a chance against, but it's a big night with David Poile and Shea Weber there being celebrated for entering the Hockey Hall of Fame. This could be a night where you get your swagger back a little bit, and maybe it starts to trend things in the right direction for the Preds.
Maybe they'll feel my energy through the board. Connor Nude on the ones and twos.
Connor
tonight.
Nude, who's with you?
Our new guy.
Christian
Skelton.
How about it?
And all MTSU studio tonight.
There will be wrestling music played tonight. I will go ahead and tell you.
Oh, I'm sure. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in on the Predators. We're going to move on. We're going to go to some college football here as we are just 30 minutes away from getting the full day of college football started. Indiana, Ohio State coming up right after us on the station. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up next week in what could be a huge game for the Vols and other games that could have college football playoff implications later on today. That's up next. You're on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders taking on New Mexico State with a kickoff time of 1:30 p.m. The pregame show begins at noon. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM. Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Force Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you for the next 30 minutes or so, leading into Indiana and Ohio State coming up next. One of the big games across college football today, the biggest game across college football. Let's start there, guys. Is Indiana, Ohio State an elimination game for either of those teams? And does it depend on what the score ends up being?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I think, depending on the score, I think Ohio State has more of a chance to be eliminated than Indiana does.
Really?
I'll tell you that. However, Ohio State has a significantly stronger schedule than Indiana does. True. So now I'm confusing myself. What do I want? I think Ohio State wins by two touchdowns. I do. I don't think it's going to be close, especially at home. And I'm giving away our predictions. So,
well, sorry. Yes, that is something we're picking later. I will disagree with you, Connor, and I know Jake's not going to want to hear this. I think unless Indiana loses by 30-plus today, I think both these teams are in no matter what.
Yeah.
Like Indiana, let's say they lose by 20 to Ohio State. They're still an 11-1 team with their only loss to a top-two Ohio State squad mm-hmm. on the road. I don't think you can keep them out no matter what their strength of schedule is. Ohio State, if they lose, they're 10-2, and their only two losses are to undefeated teams, Oregon and Indiana, on the road with one of them. I think Ohio State's in either way. I think the Big Ten, unless Penn State or Indiana lose to Penn State plays Minnesota today.
Yeah.
Unless Penn State loses to Minnesota or Indiana loses to Purdue or Penn State loses next week, I think the Big Ten has four in.
Yeah.
And that may be fair. It may not be fair with the strength of schedule, but like, if you go 11-1 in the Big Ten, I think you're in.
Yeah.
That's fair, because then you go to the Big Ten Championship, Indiana's not going to be there. They're going to be an 11-1 team.
Yeah, they'd be an 11-1 team, and
Oregon would be there.
It'd be Oregon,
yeah, it'd be
Ohio
Oregon
State.
Ohio State.
I mean, that's perfect.
The winner of this game is into the Big Ten Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Almost certainly, barring, again, if Indiana loses to Purdue next week, which isn't going to happen. But
so, I mean, that's perfect.
The Big Ten, it's worked out perfectly for the Big Ten. And I understand the Big Ten is not as deep as the SEC, but Indiana can't control that Michigan and Washington took gigantic steps back this year. They beat both of them. Their average margin of victory is over 30 per game, so it's not like they're squeaking by bad teams. They're blowing the brakes off bad teams. I think the Big Ten, again, barring a major collapse, I think they've got four in. I think, for Tennessee fans, the games you need to be looking at today, first off, you want Auburn to beat A&M,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously you want A&M to beat Texas after that, because then both of those could be out.
Ole Miss and Florida.
You want Florida to beat Ole Miss, which, with DJ Lagway back healthy, in the swamp,
at home,
it is not. That is probably the most likely result for Tennessee fans today to be looking for.
Or Army.
Oklahoma hosting Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm not. I would say that's the next most likely. I don't think Oklahoma beats Alabama. Oklahoma's not good. But it is in Norman. Alabama has slipped up on the road, I think, twice now. I think that one is not likely, but possible. Army Notre Dame is in Yankee Stadium. That's
I love it. I love it.
Can Kentucky go to Austin today and pull off an upset?
No.
Hell yeah, they can. Hell yeah.
That was said with a little sarcasm.
Out of the games today that could have a major upset that affects college football playoff rankings, I think the only one that is less likely is UMass beating Georgia in Athens.
Which would be cool. That would be fun.
That would be awesome. That would be so funny.
It's not happening, Jake. Sorry about
that. Yeah, I mean, hey, one can dream, right?
Maybe.
I don't think you have to worry about any ACC or Big 12 games anymore, because I don't see any scenario where those conferences get two. Like, BYU, Colorado, Arizona State, one of those teams is in. Arizona State's still in it, right? Like, to get to the Big 12 championship.
I think so.
Yeah, they're 5-2.
Yep. Mathematically.
So if they beat BYU today in Tempe, they would take the driver's seat for that second spot in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I want to believe in Army today. I really do. But I also believed in Navy beating Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and
that didn't go well.
But
there's a difference. There's a difference. This is in New York. It's at Yankee Stadium, correct?
It's still going to be a home game for Notre Dame.
It doesn't matter. This is going to be played in a left field environment.
Yeah, literally.
The grass is cut differently on a baseball field.
That is true.
You're going to have issues.
We talked about this when Vandy played Georgia State.
And we did.
I've called a game at Yankee Stadium.
Have you really?
I did.
You called
the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yes.
And
was
I
that
think
in 2019?
2022. Mm. 2021.
So you have experience with the grass out there.
Yes.
Is it thicker than what you thought?
I don't know, but I think this game ends the exact same way that the game I called ends, in a blowout.
Yep.
Maryland beat the brakes off of the Virginia Tech Hokies, including Chigakonkwo and Talia Tagovailoa were both on that team. I think Notre Dame... Do I think Notre Dame is worthy of being the number six team in the country? Probably not.
I don't think they're a powerhouse.
And I think they're going to choke in the playoffs again.
Yeah.
But I think they can beat Army.
They're a sneaky team. I'm not going to discredit that. Like, what Marcus Freeman's done out there at Notre Dame, he's put together a good ball club, better than Brian Kelly ever would. I mean,
Brian Kelly, woof.
Beauregard.
I'm just saying, like, Jake's onto something. He's right. Notre Dame is a good ball club, but will they do anything in the playoff? Probably not.
No, and that's the downside of not playing in a conference.
Yeah.
But it kind of favors them in the playoff seating, because if they win out, obviously they don't play a conference championship game. That's their bye week.
Yeah.
Then you're hosting a playoff game. So they still get 2 weeks to rest.
Yeah, but say two bye, because they have the Army-Navy game and then the conference championship games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Army-Navy does not count for
it's not a conference
AAC
game.
Conference. Obviously, it still counts for their resume, but
right.
Does not count for conference. So it's locked in now. It's Army-Tulane in the American.
I believe so.
I think so.
Yep.
So I think Notre Dame, if they win today, they're in. They do play USC next week, so you never know.
There's still hope.
There could be an upset brewing there as well. But ACC, I think, is a one-bid league. It's going to be Miami or SMU. Or Clemson, I guess, could also get in there.
Ponies.
Big 12 is going to get one team in out of BYU, Colorado, Arizona State. If you go Notre Dame, you go Group of Five, which probably is BYU. And then those four are in. We're in the same spot we were last week, where it's four SEC teams. Right now, those spots are going to Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia. But definitely paths for Tennessee and Texas A&M to get there.
Yeah.
A&M's got to win today.
Yeah.
And I don't trust Auburn.
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
It's a mess down there. If Hugh Freeze is going to get fired.
If A&M wins today and beats Texas, Texas is out, correct? Like, I don't think you can put a 10-2 Texas team in whose best win is
Texas
a three-point win at Vanderbilt.
Texas plays Kentucky.
They're not – Kentucky's not beat. No, I mean next week.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It's like A&M beats Auburn.
I thought you said – oh, never mind. I'm wrong.
Pulse.
You're right.
If A&M beats Auburn – and then A&M beats Texas, I think A&M is in, Texas is out.
It's fair.
Yeah.
That is 100% fair.
Yeah.
So what's your SEC championship look like?
That would be A&M would be in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If that was the case, and I think they'd play Alabama.
And then that brings up another.
Yes, because they have the head-to-head against Georgia. You're right.
Right. So, yeah, I think it would be A&M-Alabama in the conference championship
game. And that would bring up another interesting conundrum. If Alabama loses, do you put in a three loss team?
No.
Yes. Well, we talked about this though. That are we punishing teams for losing in the conference championship game when they only got there because of a tiebreaker? Like, I know Lane Kiffin's talked about this, that the reward of a bye isn't worth the risk of getting knocked out completely. I don't think the committee. Maybe you can move a team one spot, but I don't think a team should be knocked out just because they had to play an extra game that other teams didn't.
Yeah. Win your earlier games.
The reason they're in the SEC championship game is because they were more qualified than the other teams in the first place.
Right.
That's a tricky situation.
I'm
glad this is not our job.
I hate the idea of punishing a team because they made the conference championship and other teams sat at home watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a deep conference like the SEC, who I think we all settled on they're probably getting four teams in, I don't know. I mean
that's the chaos scenario there, is if A&M wins out, wins the SEC championship, gets the bye, then you can only take three of Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Which is...
I mean, then they factor in head-to-head, resume wins.
And in that scenario, all of those teams would have 10 wins. Yeah. They'd all be 10-2 or 10-3.
And then you look at who beat who. Tennessee beat Alabama.
Yeah. Alabama beat Georgia. Georgia beat Ole Miss.
And Tennessee.
Yeah, and Tennessee. Tennessee beat Alabama. Texas is like the only one that's just completely left out except for Georgia beat them.
I hate to say this to Jake Wallman's point here, but I mean, the best way it's going to solve all this is if Vandy beats Tennessee in the last.
Yeah, Vandy beats Tennessee, it's like, over.
That solves everything.
It does make it a lot easier. I think there still might be some thoughts on the last SEC team in that scenario. Well, I guess A&M might not be in. We're saying if they were able to pull off the win against Texas.
You guys are sleeping on the UTEP Miners. It's happening today.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Now, to Connor's point, UTEP's head coach is the former head coach at Austin Peay. I forget his name.
Oh.
But when Tennessee hosted Austin Peay last year, he gave them all they wanted to kind of play, devil's
UTEP
advocate.
UTEP might be worse than that Austin Peay.
Yeah, but 2-8 UTEP team, I'm thinking that one might be more like Kent State earlier this year.
I'm just saying that there's a factor that plays into it that you can't ignore if you're me at least.
Yeah.
Just because that guy was like a
one game at a
Energizer
time,
bunny, man.
One game at a time.
You know a team is an Energizer bunny?
The ponies.
SMU Mustangs.
I'm just telling you right now, Kentucky's winning out. You're going 6-6 and going to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
And then Mark,
you see they have three mascots? They have three mascots this year.
There's a mystery flavor.
Yeah, there's a mystery flavor. Can't wait for the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Oh, great.
Then Mark Stoops gets an extension?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Get bowl eligible.
I want John Sumrall. Bring on the bacon wave.
Lots of big games today. I've got a fun wild card pick I'm going to make in our next segment. But the big games today in terms of college football playoff, obviously Indiana, Ohio State. I still think both teams are in, barring a blowout. But obviously Army, Notre Dame. That one could be an elimination game for either of those teams. So we'll see how all of that plays out over the next couple of hours. We got one more segment. We're going to make some picks when we come back here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game right after us. Just keep it tuned right here for our college football game of the week. Indiana and Ohio State presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. It's coming up in about 12 minutes between the Hoosiers and the Buckeyes from Columbus. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Final segment here on Four's Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Time to make some picks, gentlemen. And we're going all college football, at least for our set picks. We'll give you a wild card in case you want to pick darts, Nick. Let's start with Vanderbilt and LSU. It'll be on 94.9 The Fan. Pregame coverage at 5, kickoff at 6:45. Can the Doors take down the Tigers in Death Valley to get their 7th win of the season?
I'm going to say no. LSU's eliminated from the playoff. They're not getting in. It's not happening. But they still are playing for their season. They want to win out. Brian Kelly's playing for his job right now. So in Death Valley, oh, man.
Night game
in Death Valley. LSU's wearing special jerseys tonight, too. That crowd's going to be fired up. Give me LSU. But I think Vanderbilt comes in next week at home with an edge. Maybe takes it to Tennessee.
Easy, buddy.
We'll
easy.
Have our, again, we're going to have a Black Friday special for you. Forrest Company, 6 to 8 a.m. If you're out doing some early shopping the day after Thanksgiving, we'll be on the air leading into Robbie and Rex Road, I believe, who will be live from Bridgestone Arena. So make sure you tune in for that. And then we'll also be on the air on Saturday, 9 a.m., only till 9:30, though. We'll do a quick preview of Vandy in Tennessee and get you into the pregame coverage over there from First Bank Stadium. Nick, do you think Vanderbilt can go into Baton Rouge and get a win?
I do.
Yes.
I really do. I think Vandy actually can win out. I'm all over Vandy.
An 8-win Vanderbilt.
And he said easy buddy to me.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I don't think this LSU team is like a team anymore. It's just a bunch of individuals that are looking for incentives on their NIL deals.
McAfee agrees with you.
Yeah. Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Kirk as well.
Oh, they're picking it right now.
How about that?
Man.
Yeah, I think Vandy's just a more complete team. They're actual team. They represent what the word means.
Yeah.
So I just think LSU is a bunch of individuals that are not going to win.
I think it's going to be close, but not knowing how close to healthy Diego Pavia is, I'm going to say LSU pulls it out. I'm just thinking that environment's going to be maybe not full go Death Valley, but it'll still be good. I think Vandy loses like 24-21 or something like that.
I think it's going to be low scoring.
But again, I think if Pavia is healthy next week, could be a game. Jake Wallman, does Vanderbilt get it done on the road?
I think I'm with Nick Fraser in the sense that this team, this LSU team is just... they're not bought in as they once were. I don't know if you guys saw the Florida game last week, but I can't remember at what point in the game it was, but an LSU player came off the field and was just grilling Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
It looked like he saw a ghost. Mm-hmm. But I have to factor in Baton Rouge at night, and I think it's close. I think it's like the Missouri game Vanderbilt played early in the year, where it is close the entire game, but I think LSU pulls it out.
I have breaking news.
Oh,
per the reporter, our friend Nick Kieser, Fedor Svechkov will make his NHL debut tonight.
Wow, against
the Winnipeg Jets.
Excited for that. That's coming up at 5 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop, and again, David Poile and Shea Weber being honored pregame there. And now an NHL debut. What a night it's going to be over at Bridgestone Arena.
Credit to Nick Kieser. Thank you for
credit
that
to Nick Fraser too, though.
Yeah, we love you too.
What I do? I just sat here and was happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
thanks. Appreciate it.
Good job.
But you just sit there and look pretty.
Thank you.
Make me smile.
All right. Well, good news there from the Preds.
Good stuff.
We will get to see an NHL debut tonight, and credit to Nick Kieser there. Second game coming up in less than 10 minutes. Indiana and the Ohio State University from the Horseshoe in Columbus. Do the Hoosiers have an upset in them?
I already told you no, it's not going to happen. I think Ohio State wins by at least 14. I just feel like they're a more complete team at home in the Shoe. I just think Ohio State's more of a complete team. They have a better defense than Indiana. Indiana has an offense, but so does Ohio State. So I think it's a high one, though. I'll say 38-24, Ohio State.
Huh. I was going to go something similar to that. I'm going to go 38-35, Indiana.
Wow. Ooh. I knew you were picking the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I
saw the little smirk on your face.
I had to, man. I had to. I'm going 38-35, Indiana. Let the dogs out today. No need to board them.
Indiana could complete an undefeated regular season if they win today. I don't think that happens. I think Indiana keeps it closer. I'll go 10 points. I'll say this one ends 31-21, Ohio State.
Would Coach Lyman win this game?
No, not right now. Coach Lyman might get run out of Columbus right now. Jake Wallman?
I'm trying to not let my bias show because my heart wants Indiana to win. I think they're a great story with Kurt Cignetti. But my brain tells me Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ryan Day needs this game. They were all over them. They were loving on them. when he appeared on game day earlier. Mm-hmm. And if he loses this game, they're going to run him out of Columbus.
All right. Possible. So Nick Frazier lone wolfing once again.
Dogs are out today, boys.
Dogs are out for Nick Frazier. It'll either be a perfect week for him or the opposite.
27 to 17 for the LSU Vandy game, by the way.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. All right, wild card. This could be anything. Preds game tonight, Titans game tomorrow, NFL games, college football. Connor Newt, lead us off.
We're not going to know this one till Monday, but big one in the world of college basketball in the Maui Invitational, Auburn and Iowa State.
Ooh.
4 versus 5. I love the way Bruce Pearl's team plays this year. I think that offense is electric, and Bruce Pearl teams always have good defenses.
Long flight for the Tigers.
Yeah, long flight. Do you think they get out of there with all their teeth?
Depends on who attacks who first. But I'm going to go Auburn over Iowa State. I think Bruce Pearl's got something special this year. I think this is a team that can make a deep, deep run in March and maybe run the SEC table. I don't know. But as of Monday, give me the Auburn Tigers. I think they win. Oh, what's the spread? Hold on 1 second. Hi, how are you? Doing well. Good. I think they win by like 8.
Okay.
So I'll say 78-70, Auburn.
Nick Frazier, what badminton game will you be picking?
No obscure sports here. I'm going to stick with college football. I mean, I haven't seen Mississippi State win a football game since probably 2013, honestly. They have been so mediocre. I think they beat Missouri today. Big upset.
Hey!
At home.
I hope
Davis
that
Wade.
Happens for you.
Yeah. Dogs are out, especially the Bulldogs.
More cowbells.
Well, also, I don't like Eli Drinkwitz.
Dorkwitz.
Eli Dorkwitz.
As I call him.
I guess too much standing on business for you, huh?
Something. I mean, that guy's a clown.
Well, he is. No, what was it? A couple weeks ago they won, and he said, we're still in the hunt for the college football
playoff.
Yeah, like,
dude, get out of here, man.
You're number 24.
I'm surprised they're still ranked.
Yeah.
And I was a Missouri guy heading into the year.
Yeah, we know you were.
I told you guys that the other Coach Lyman in my online dynasty won a national championship with the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Today, the Gophers pull off the upset in Minneapolis, beat number 4 Penn State, and send James Franklin home.
Row the boat.
Row that boat. P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck.
Minnesota gets it done. Max Brosmer, Darius Taylor, they get the win.
All right, well, I'm going to make my wild card the UTEP game.
We knew you were going
to. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm going to go down to Gainesville. And
ooh, I know where you're going.
Jake Lyman and I were talking about this, and it would be so Lane Kiffin to lose this game.
Yep.
A game that he needs, you know, he just does not always come through in the clutch when he needs it. Florida, you get bowl eligibility. Tennessee gets a spot in the college football playoff. I can make that trade without saying I'm cheering for the Gators. Give me Florida by a score of 31-24.
I need to hear you sing some Tom Petty since you're picking Florida. Go ahead.
I can't sing. I'm
Go
not.
Ahead. Hey, baby.
I don't need Chase McCabe coming into my. I don't need him texting me.
Yeah, no singing. No singing allowed on the show anymore.
I sing all the time.
That's true. We do sing a little bit, but no full on singing like that one time. We've been banned.
Yeah. We've been banned.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us. Good show, gentlemen. Should be a fun day of college football day. We've got Indiana, Ohio State coming up next. They're picking it right now behind us on College Game Day. We'll see what mascot head comes out. Is Corso there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is.
So we'll see if Brutus makes a thousandth appearance.
Does Indiana have a mascot head? I don't think
they do.
I don't think so. I think he would put on the helmet. But right, there was one time they were at Indiana and he put on some kind of bird costume. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is a Hoosier?
It's a state.
Yeah, it's the state. It's
kind of like
Tennessee. And
it's a volunteer.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird.
All right, well, that wraps it up for us. Enjoy your college football Saturday, everyone. Preds game tonight, 5 o'clock pregame right here on The Game. Vandy football on 94.9 The Fan starting at 5 o'clock as well. And again, coming up right after us, Indiana, Ohio State, Hoosiers and Buckeyes, top 5 matchup out in Columbus. For Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wellman, I'm Jake Lyman signing off. We'll talk to you on Black Friday, 6 a.m. Four's Company in 6 days from now on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See ya!